Good afternoon, everyone. This is Susan Dene, and you are listening to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show, where we are talking about emotional elevation in the raw. What is emotional elevation in the raw? It is simply the removal of the filters which have held so many of us from truly expressing how we really feel about living this life day to day. Whether it be finances, romances, professional, or even our health, we all have a little bit of crazy to dive in and get to know. As a certified high-performance coach to corporations and individuals, as well as a woman helping women recover from alcoholism and addiction for nearly 20 years, I not only will bring you my insight and experience, but that of experts and everyday individuals like yourself who have figured something out about this emotional elevation. Please join me one episode at a time as we find solutions together for our crazy. Remember, this journey of life is meant to be enjoyed, and you deserve that because you are worth it. Well, hello, everyone. This is Susan Dene, and welcome to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. Today, I am really excited about our show because we are doing Sobriety in the Shack. That's right, Sobriety in the Shack. You are joining us in my shack, and this shack, I have had many conversations with my guest today, Dori, and we are just two ladies with sobriety under our belt who are going to be talking a little bit about emotional sobriety today. I am very grateful if you're joining us. We are going to go through what emotional sobriety is, what that's been like. I'm going to focus a lot on Dori. And we're going to do our best just to have fun today and really enjoy some chit chat between two women in sobriety and probably a couple laughs. And as we were just talking about, the real talk in the shack. Yeah. So welcome, Dori. I'm really excited that you're joining me today. I joked earlier and said, thank you for being my guinea pig, because this is the first live interview in my shack. And so we're just going to see what happens. I'm pretty sure both of us have been through worse. I mean, that's pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I don't think it, yeah, this is going to go pretty well.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you know, I always like talking about myself.
I like talking about myself too. That's all I think about.
So much, but it's all.
And welcome to sobriety. So, all right, so let's talk about emotional sobriety. So the reason I thought of you first was because you have an authentic delivery about everything that you're either emotionally enduring during the time that you've overcome. You have a fantastic message about experience, strength, and hope. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be just an opportunity to share what that's like for us in recovery. Mm-hmm. As I was sharing with Dori the other day, so I'm looking at my TikTok, trying to even do TikTok, right? And I'm building this, you know, this thing. And as I'm going through, I'm looking at sobriety videos. And this was actually the inspiration for today's show. And what I was noticing, early sobriety is so important because that's really kind of like the infant stage about whether the person's going to pick up the drink and the drug and if they're going to really make it and live a sober life. And, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter said something very, obviously she's been raised in a home of recovery. She was talking to somebody the other day. She says, you know, Mom, I just told him that relapse is part of recovery. I had never really heard it said that way. Maybe I just heard it differently because Zoe was saying it to me, but it really can be part of the story. The beginning days of sobriety is super gentle. And then we discover when we get years in recovery, the emotional game kind of changes, right? That have you ever, well, I know you have, but even for the folks watching this right now, you know, you hit a certain pain point and all the motivation is there in the beginning. And then once you get used to and adjusting to a certain way of living, the pain point goes away. And then you do pretty well for a while, mm-hmm. and then life happens and pain points happen. Mm-hmm. And for those of us in recovery long term, we have to stay courageous in this work in order to not ever go back out and drink or pick up. And I think that's the difference between somebody who's in recovery and somebody who's not, is there's always this memory mm-hmm. of what it was really like. Mm-hmm. And so if we really need the motivation to overcome whatever battle is in front of us, all we got to do is look back. Mm-hmm. And that, I would say, is what separates us maybe from somebody who doesn't have what I would refer to as the allergy to alcohol or to drug addiction, doesn't come with that personality or that type, whatever your belief system is around that. Mm-hmm. I can reflect back to the very beginning and say to myself, I'm going to overcome this because the last thing I'm going to do is pick up and drink. Mm-hmm. So, Dory, how many years of sobriety do you have?
11. 11 and a half.
Congratulations. Thank Congratulations. You. So if I asked you, what has been emotional sobriety? Like, if you can somehow wrap your head around, what does emotional sobriety look like for you? What has it taken for you? And if you want to start with a little bit of the beginning story, you can, to kind of warm up to that piece.
Okay. A little bit maybe about how we met.
Sure.
Come in there.
Sure.
So we met when I had 4 years again, you know, and I was sober. But I had been asked to leave my home by my husband, and I had been doing some other forms of recovery work. You know, I went to the church, I went to therapy, I was doing some things, but when he asked me to leave, I didn't know what else to do. And I knew that I was in a very delicate position when it came to sobriety, that stuff was hitting the fan and I needed to be in a safe space. So, so I went back to some basics, and that's where I met you, in the rooms of the 12-step group. And you and I met, and you said, although I wasn't necessarily a newcomer anymore in the context of sobriety, and I wasn't thinking about drinking, but I was a mess. I was a hot mess, and emotionally and spiritually. And you took me back to the basics of fundamentals of recovery. And we walked through them in the context of my emotional states. Yeah. And you know, from there, it's just getting back to the basic of the first thing that really you pointed out to me, you helped me through, was that I was trying to control people, places, and things. And for an alcoholic, especially, that is a sign of some serious spiritual discontent, not living in peace, you know, yeah. not living in acceptance of what is.
Yeah.
I was fighting everything. And obviously didn't like my emotional state and the state of my marriage at the time. And on it went, you know, and it was a tough couple of years that I had to learn to be okay with what was going on, with what happened. And ultimately that it didn't work out the way that I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And that was tough. It was really, really tough.
You know, I'm going to jump in real quick because something just sparked when you were sharing that. I had someone call me the other day, someone very close to me. She's known me my whole life. She's known me since, you know, I mean, we partied together. We went to high school together. I mean, super close. And she called me extremely upset, and she's celebrating around a year and a half clean, right? Mm-hmm. And she lost her brother. Mm-hmm. Her brother died. And she called me, and the first thing I shared with her, very first thing out of my mouth was, we don't drink over death, we don't drink over divorce, and we don't drink over disease. Mm-hmm. Because those are the life circumstances that can really cause some, you know, like some people will say, you know, you've got, depending on, you know, who's talking or what the belief system is, but, you know, you've got years, you know, why do you do X, Y, and Z still? You know, why do you do those things? Mm-hmm. And because, like anybody, I would assume, when life hits, it'd be really cool to kick that back with a cool one, you know, with a beer, or, you know, and it'd be really cool to do that and just take the edge off. But for someone like me, the edge is really big, and mm-hmm. and there is no such thing as, you know, one. I mean, why would I bother? I mean, it's kind of mm-hmm. it's a, you know, it's me, but. Those were the three things. And so the reason I wanted to hit on that was, we don't drink over divorce, we don't drink over death, and we don't drink over disease. And it's just one of those things, because what you're sharing and what I recall and what I know about you is that was an absolutely devastating experience in your life.
Absolutely.
The divorce was, yeah. you know, and yeah, go ahead.
And it was just, you know, and what's coming to my mind with what you're saying and my experience has been, but okay, then what do we do? What do we do? Because we don't want to feel. That's ultimately why we drank in the first place, why we drug in the first place, because we're having these emotional feelings that we want to get out of.
Yeah.
And what I found to be true as in my journey through emotional sobriety and trying not to, you know, again, it wasn't about going back to the drink and going back to the drug, because I had conceded that I can't, that's not an option for me. I remembered all too well, it didn't work, but I had picked up some other habits along the way of emotional crazy, as we call it, you know, whether it be trying to control, whether it be shopping, whether it be anger, you know, and judgment. I just picked up some bad emotional habits and some bad thinking habits that that really caused me to be crazy and still can today sometimes if I'm not careful. And so I think that's where walking through the basics of sobriety one more time in the context of my emotional sobriety, you know, learning to recognize that there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here that, and that I needed someone else's help to get me through it, to spot it, to help me sort through it.
And that's why I call it emotional recovery in the raw, right? I mean, really, because, you know, when we go there, we got to hear the message. It's kind of like, we got to hear the message through the denial, through the, through the perspective of me, right? Like, I got to be able to hear you help me, right?
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
Start shifting possibilities into probabilities with Colette Marie Steffen through her Energetic Upgrade online programs and personal consultations. Colette is a leading expert in the field of quantum energetic transformation. Are you ready to get your shift together? Book a 45-minute energetic upgrade session with Colette and check out all the energetic upgrade programs at thetruthisfunny.com.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with Cornelia Stephanie, VIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
Introducing The Brilliant Black Man Show with Melissa Johnson. Tune in as Melissa shares the stories of successful black men across the country. This show is designed to change the narrative of how black men are portrayed in the world. The show will highlight their brilliance and how they are making a difference in their family, community, boardroom, and the world. For more information on the show, visit wildministriesllc.com.
When trauma is stored in the body, it can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. Learn how the mind connects with the body and how you can pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. On the Law of Attraction Traction with host, my mom, Corinne Beerfield. Every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn more about Corrine and her services as a holistic, heart-centered counselor, visit CorrineBierfeld.com.
This is Susan Denae. If you were on with us and all of a sudden you lost us, it's because we had technical difficulties. Story of our lives. So we are talking about sobriety in the shack today, and I'm here with Dori. And Dori is a woman with over 11 and a half years sobriety. Yeah. Congratulations again on that. And where we were at before we cut out suddenly was Dori is going to be sharing, and actually I'm going to have you share one of your biggest aha moments or shifts after your time coming back and getting back into the basics of sobriety and what that did for you and where that was at. Yeah.
With my emotional sobriety, we were about 4 years into our relationship of here in the shack. As a matter of fact, we were sitting right here. And we were talking about the marriage, and it was, we had been divorced now, and we met when I first got separated. I got divorced 2 years later, and it was 2 years after that. Yeah. And I'm still talking about it, and it's painful. It's painful because the crazy, you know, as we refer to it, is the obsession of the mind. Just, I can't seem to let this go emotionally. I keep ruminating it. I keep reliving it. I keep feeling the guilt of whatever. So one day we're just sitting here and I don't know exactly what I said. I just know what you said. And you said, it's done. It's over.
Yeah.
It's done. And there's something about that moment and what we were talking about, and it was, I finally got it. I finally got that. I've got to stop reliving this.
Isn't that true? And there's so much freedom when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was like complete acceptance in that moment that, okay, you're right.
Yeah.
We're done. Nothing is changing. Nothing is going to change until that was fully accepted. And from that moment on, I think I've been primarily free from all of that guilt and shame and woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, that can happen in that moment. You know, I'm thinking of a friend of ours that, has described our crazy sometimes as a boot in a dryer.
Yeah.
And it's that thumping of the boot, you know, and the panic that comes over the house when you hear it in the dryer, because you want to get there and get it turned off as soon as possible because it's just so obnoxious.
Yeah.
But when I have it going on in my head, it is just like this constant just reliving.
Yeah.
And that's how I describe my crazy. It's just if I'm obsessing about something and I can't seem to let it go, that's when I need to get quiet.
Yeah.
Get honest.
Yeah. Well, you know, you think about the, just the power in accepting the fact that it's over, it's done. It's done. I remember that conversation. Yeah. I remember the conversation and, I mean, it was very deliberate and it was very direct, but it was like, it's done. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on. It's done. Mm-hmm. And in the power behind saying the words out loud, you know, I mean, one of the things that, that I truly believe in, even if I'm working with myself, but when I have to turn around and tell myself, like it happened yesterday morning, you know, I'm sitting there in my morning routine. I haven't been happy with how it's been going, but that cycle of thinking I'm not happy with my morning routine, why can't my head shut off more? You know, it used to do this, but that cycle of re-feeling that I caught it. I caught the crazy. I really did. And and I just said to myself, you got to knock this off. You got X, you know, X, Y, and Z going on this week. Why are you not excited? Like, what's going on? Like, you gotta nip that shit and nip it and let it go and turn around it because it's over. It's done. You've done known that this morning meditation, whatever, hasn't worked quite like you'd want it to. So when is the decision going to be made to knock it off and to move forward? And that's what I remember that day when I saw the light bulb go off for you, by the way, when that happened. I knew because it was just like a moment of clarity when we totally accept, are we reliving something over and over to the point of sheer misery? And, you know, and that is something that I always, I love to talk about. You know where I'm going with this. This is what I love to talk about you know, we have a choice in sobriety and we got a choice in life. If you're not a person in recovery, but you're either going to choose to be miserable or you're going to choose to not. And one of the things I like to say is I didn't get sober to be miserable.
Right.
That is not what I did. I got sober because the way of living was so painful with the drug abuse and the alcoholism that staying there was no longer an option. And so now that I'm going to put the drink and the drug down, if I continue to live in a way that doesn't serve my highest self, which simply means if I refuse to do the work, and you found out the result of that in sobriety of 4 years, like you woke up with the unmanageability in that, right? And so those of us in recovery, I mean, it's like bittersweet because we gain access to a new way of living. And then it dawns on us one day that this doesn't stop, right? Like the growth does not stop. It is going to keep rolling forward no matter what we think or how, you know, whatever's going on in our life. It's just going to keep moving forward.
No matter what. And that from that moment forward, you know, as I could look back on it and I could see I'm like a dog chasing its tail. You know, I just kept reliving and reliving and reliving. And then suddenly I'm awake to the fact that if I am ever going to be okay, I need to just stop it. Just stop.
Well, and that gets into another question for you. So in your sobriety, so we've got, you know, the marriage that, you know, and the boot in the dryer and what that was like, just learning to let go, right? Really learning to let go. You hear so much all the time about surrendering. I mean, that's really what it is. You were surrendering to a particular pattern of thinking and feeling, right? I mean, that's what was going on. So are there other areas in your life that you've had the cycle going where you've had to learn to let go? In particular, you know, where you have to really learn a new way of living. I mean, I personally had mine professionally. That was one of my most recent one. So I've been sober 20 years. And throughout that 20 years, I have faced divorce and I faced death when I lost my father a year ago to COVID. And then I faced, like, you know, I'd love to say disease, but I don't give enough respect to people who really suffer from disease. But I had stuff go on physically that I'd never had before and it scared me to my core. And so it brought a whole new level of appreciation for disease and sobriety and what that can really trigger the fear in anybody for that matter, when there's serious illnesses and but the fear that can go on. And, but the professional one, you know, what really got to me was, you know, even surviving those things, the one that was really challenging for me was overcoming the professional hurdle. Like, what do I want to be when I grow up and I'm making this decision in my 40s? I mean, it's like, really, why couldn't I have had this clarity 20 years ago? But, you know, I had to do what I had to do to get there. But that cycle in that reliving and not being able to walk away when I need, it took time. It took time and there were layers to that. And so for you, what has been one of those things for you where you've had to learn to apply tools in sobriety to not go backwards?
Oh, geez. I think another big one for me was as I moved into the dating world, sobriety and learning how to, I remember having a big epiphany around you saying to me one day, are you okay with that? You know, I was questioning some of my desires and my choices and what I wanted and coming really for the first time. You know, because my story is, you know, teen pregnancy, drugs and kids and marriages, you know, a couple of marriages, few kids and from a very young age. And so I never left home in the way that traditionally we do it. You know, you leave home first.
You think we're traditionally doing it.
Yeah, we think we're traditionally, right? I mean, I hear things.
I hear there's traditions.
I hear you're supposed to. Supposed to have the kids after you find the husband. I mean, I don't know.
Really?
I don't know. It's what I hear. So I didn't do it like that.
Yeah.
I didn't do it like that. And so there was a lot of, here I find myself in my late 40s. My kids have grown and praise God, they talk to me still. They do. But, I'm grateful.
Yeah.
And I'm single.
Yeah.
You know, and all of a sudden, I'm like, Yeah. I mean, you know, if all of that didn't make me drink, I don't know. Maybe the Dayton will, because it's a whole new ball game in your late 40s.
Yeah.
And learning to be somebody living a principled life, or at least trying to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and am I okay with this? And am I okay with that? And who am I?
Yeah.
What do I want?
That's why I said there were many times when we would talk and you would be experiencing the dating thing, and I was going through the professional thing. And I said, Dori, I know this may seem like a stretch, but really, we're both in the same boat right now because I'm trying to figure out what I want to be when I grow up in my 40s. And you're trying to do the dating scene, you know? And so there's like these life experiences.
Yeah.
And so what's going on in the head when all this is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Uncomfortableness, facing fear. Mm-hmm. Facing fear, mm-hmm. facing worth issues.
Huge.
Worth issues are through the chart, because how do we learn how to authentically get what we want? But we have to understand that we're worthy of receiving it. Mm-hmm. And that's really where the work tends to lie, I think, in a lot of the later sobriety. You know, when we short ourselves because we don't feel we're worthy of receiving something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get caught on these conditions, these outside conditions that mm-hmm. we think are somehow going to make us feel better. It's the comparison game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the comparison game. We get caught on these outside conditions and thinking that we're somehow supposed to achieve it this way. We're supposed to have these traditions, right? Mm-hmm. And what are traditions? I mean, traditions have been laid upon us by other, okay, don't get me on a tangent, but anyways, and so finding that, you know, our worth mm-hmm. outside of conditions, but what's mm-hmm. what's going on the inside? What do we deserve to be? And we're afraid to ask for what makes us happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, to really get honest and ask ourselves what makes us happy. So we're about to go to break. We've got a couple minutes here. So when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit with you about worthiness, mm-hmm. the areas where you feel like that's like no problem at all. I think probably professionally you experience that. Mm-hmm. You're a fantastic entrepreneur. I want to talk a little bit about that and your mm-hmm. achievements in that area, mm-hmm. and even some of the beliefs you had in that you had to overcome to get there,
mm-hmm.
which I know there's a few.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just keep the chit chat going in the shack here and mm-hmm. see where that takes us. So going to break, folks. If you like what you heard so far, stay with us because we will be back. If you want to reach out to me, you can always go to the website at www.susandene.com. Do you even need to say www anymore?
I don't know.
All right. Danae is D-E-N-E-E, by the way. SusanDene.com, or you can check it out on Facebook, Susan Dene, or Instagram, Susan Dene. And there you go. We'll be back.
Stuck? Journey into a new exciting reality today. Join Coach Christine Clark as she helps you forge the life you desire through processes that shape, hone, refine, elasticize, and transform you. Go beyond the curve and call in your unique destiny. Tune into the show, Forging a Life, live every fourth Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Christine, visit SunglowTransformation.com.
How to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. Every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, everyone. This is Susan Dene, and you are joining us for Sobriety in the Shack with my guest, Dori.
Okay.
Which I told Dori when she got here, I said, you know, you're my guinea pig today. And I've already said that once, but honestly, because doing this whole thing in the shack and doing an interview is new for me, if you can't tell. And we were just joking about how I know www. So if there's anything that we're learning today is that World Wide Web doesn't need to be announced no more. So and do it sober. So sobriety in the shack, talking about what it takes to get through life's hurdles in sobriety with some time under your belt, what that experience can be for you, some of the challenges you may encounter, ultimately identifying and learning from our crazy when we have years of recovery under our belt, and why people in recovery continue to do the work. And by the work, we just simply mean introspection. You know, so often I will see things on the internet. I mean, you know, it's like this crazy, you know, everybody understands what it's like now to share your story. I mean, it, you know, and we've been doing that for years in the rooms in order to stay clean and sober. Because it's so powerful when you hear people share about their experience, strength, and hope. But the thing that makes that powerful is when there's recovery attached to the experience, right? And that might be recovery from anything. It could be trauma abuse recovery. It could be food addiction recovery. It could be, but once you've done the work and you know how to get from point A to point B, there's a message to be shared. And so as I was talking about a little briefly in the other segment, the reason I got inspired about this show, although I'm a sober woman and it was, you know, I've thought about sobriety in the shack for years, for years when I started kind of branching out and doing a couple other things. So this isn't a new idea for me, but what inspired me was when I went online, I was just finding a lot of early recovery information, which by no, it's super important to stay clean and sober so that you can get to the point where we would sometimes in recovery, we'll belittle it a little bit, but we'll say they're Cadillac problems, but really it's emotional hurdles.
100%. I think one of the reasons why we have relapse sometimes, at least for me and my story, and what I have seen and experiencing with other women that are, have relapsed, is the, dare I say, disappointment of sobriety, meaning what? I got sober and stuff still, life is relentless. It just keeps coming. And if you, if we don't have the tools and we haven't dug in, completely surrendered to the fact that drugs and alcohol no longer offer a solution at all, because they weren't a problem, they were a solution. And I had to find new solutions to my problems, because problems keep coming. You know, and sometimes being happy is a problem. Sometimes being bored is a problem. Sometimes, you know, being meh is a big problem.
Talk about the boredom.
You know, I, well, it's funny that you say that, because I, it's kind of been on our mind lately. I say our mind because I just called you with it the other day, but I just, and you pointed it out to me that I think you have a boredom, you know, and
it's, I said, I think you have a boredom problem.
And it's true. And I think it's that, you know, I feel the most discontented when I'm bored. And I don't always know how to do that, because I have some bad habits of of asking things outside of me to entertain me, whether it be other people, whether it be the internet, whether it be, you know, shopping. You know, what I want that to entertain me rather than for me to just learn and be still.
What is a tool that you use to be better at being still?
First thing I've been doing a lot of lately is those three deep breaths. You've constantly over the years asked us to do, to just start with three deep breaths. And, you know, three is a lot.
And, you know, that was handed down to me. That was nothing original. I think everything that I teach, well, some things, but some are intuitive, but other things, that one was given to me by one of the women who helped me in sobriety, a very dear sponsor of mine. And I remember her saying, she goes, take three deep breaths. She goes, because on that third breath, something magical happens.
It's true.
It's true.
And there's, it's something I've learned over the years of just just do it. Just do it. And then you'll figure out why. And so when I've done it, there's something about, I need oxygen, because I'm, accidentally holding my breath a lot. I don't know what it is. If it's the anxiousness that I get sometimes, and I just forget to breathe.
Where was I at today? I think I was sitting in the appointment with my daughter, a doctor's appointment, just a routine thing. And all of a sudden I'm finding like, I'm all clenched up, like as if I'm under threat or something. I'm like, what the hell is that all about? Right. Mm-hmm. But it's that awareness of how much we naturally can tense up and not even know we're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so much research and so much studies around the effect of, you know, deep breathing and breathing exercise, you know, all of that. But it truly is. It's like, you know, when I talk about know you're crazy and trying to identify and manage the meltdown, right? And hopefully you're doing that before the meltdown, right? Which is part of the reason why I teach things like the bulldozer versus doormat. And I teach things like, you know, the emotional stuff. But the breathing piece of it really does bring you current. It brings you present.
It
brings you present. And it's a natural, I want to say anesthetic. Is that right? That's the right word. I think so.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better.
I can think. I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But the other thing would be, you know, the self-awareness, you know, the breathing helps me become present in the moment. Okay. We're dealing with boredom here. Yep. Okay. All right. Or I'm dealing with some other emotion, you know, that I don't like. So what are you going to do about it? You know, it's like, you know, I can pray. I could find something to do that's good for me rather than some of those things that are not. You know, lately I've been doing jigsaw puzzles, you know, on my iPad. Because that's the thing. You could totally do jigsaw puzzles on your iPad.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can.
No.
And I used to color.
Yeah.
And I need to get the color books back out.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, that's the thing with sobriety is I know I don't want to go back here. And I'm clear on that. And as I've gotten more and more sober, you know, there's more and more things I don't want to go back to. And we were talking about, dating and what it's like and learning to, value myself and learning to know what my wants and needs and my worth is as a, you know, now 50 something woman, but, you know, okay. I know what I used to do. I know how I used to show up in relationships. I dissected that marriage, you know, emotionally, spiritually, you know, we went through it. You know, I know what my part was. I'm so clear on what my part was. And now I want to show up different. But then there's some other habits that, you know, as people come through my life, I'm just like, oh, okay. Yeah. That's another area of my life that I think doesn't suit me anymore.
Do you think it's, so, you know, if we throw the word worth out there and how we find our worth as individuals, I remember a friend of ours was over, somebody in recovery and he was over here picking up some things and we got into this relationship talk. And so one of the things that he was struggling with at the time was just always, you know, he'd get in a relationship, but for whatever reason, he always found himself unhappy at some point. But like, it just didn't work. And what I was talking with him about and kind of a little bit of a direction I'll take this is, you know, the importance of understanding and giving yourself permission to recognize what you like in a relationship and what you don't like in a relationship. Because I think so often, especially in recovery, well, back in the day, not necessarily always in recovery, sometimes depending on if it's your learning curve, but back in the day in sobriety and before we get sober and maybe people still do this, but we just kind of fall into the relationship. You know, like all of a sudden I
Whoopsies.
I don't know why it's not making me happy no more, you know, but it sounds crazy, right? Because we either get attracted, you know, there's something going on there, but we have whatever. I think hopefully at some point we learn how to pause. And this was what I did a talk on a relationship rescue not too long ago. And what I was talking about was taking inventory of all the relationships and looking at what you like, what you didn't like, but really starting to truly understand what you require in a relationship to be happy. And then once you understand it, so you can look at both columns and you can be like, yep, this check mark, I really like that. Oh, couldn't stand that. Oh, couldn't stand it when this happened, right? You can look at it, but then to implement it. In a relationship is another layer. So that's another layer. It's another thing, right? And so, and I think that layer in particular is around self-worth and being courageous enough to really stand up for what you believe in. And the catch with all of that is, and here's the question, but how do I know if I'm not just being, I'm going to hammer grammar here, inflexible? Or how do I know that, you know, if I stand up for that too much, that, you know, that I just chase somebody away? How, where's the, you know, where's that deciding point between my worth and then being in negotiation with somebody just to make a relationship work, you know? And we can, you know, and so that's some of the stickiness around worth too. And so when am I valuing my worth? And so where am I going with this? If we think about, pick an area of your life that you're worthy in, because I know one, I think I know one.
That I'm worthy in.
If you feel your worth, like when you do this thing or this area of your life, usually it's going to be in our health. It'll be in our relationships. It'll be in our finances, or it'll be in our professional life.
I'm pretty secure in my professional life.
Okay.
You know,
So you go to work and you're confident.
Yep.
You're competent. You're up for challenges if they present themselves because you have the self-esteem that you can overcome this, right? And so therefore you offer a healthy contribution to your clients. And me being one of your clients, absolutely value that about you, because I know when I come in and I'm working with you, that I'm working with somebody who is extremely confident in what they do. And so therefore I trust your opinion and I trust how you do things, right? And so there's a feeling that comes with that type of confidence. I'm getting our flash. We're getting close to a break here. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to think about that confidence that you feel, which I'm going to be labeling as worth, when you're doing your professional work. And then I'm going to bring that full circle with another area. So, all right. So we're about to go to break, folks. We'll be back. Thank you for joining us on the Know Your Crazy show. I'm here with my guest, Dory, and we are talking about sobriety in the shack, emotional sobriety in particular. And we will be back here in just a minute. If you want to get a hold of me, it's SusanDenae.com. No, www. Denae is spelled D-E-N-E-E, SusanDenae.com. You can go to the website, shoot me an email, or on Facebook or Instagram, Susan Denae. All right, thank you.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Welcome back to the Know Your Crazy talk show. I am here with my guest, Dory, and we are talking about emotional sobriety. In particular, Dory celebrates over 11 and a half years of recovery. I'm 20 years clean. And we're just talking about how we get through the life obstacles that present themselves and the emotional hurdles that come with that and stay sober and most of all, stay sane and not get miserable. The hottest topic we were talking about when we were just leaving for break was having self-worth in sobriety. And I was leaning on Dory to help explain how her worthiness applies in her professional life. And then we're going to wrap that around, believe it or not, to relationships. So here's a question for you. So I'm going to lead this a little bit. when you go in to do your job, which you are very good at, and you say you go to work today and you perform your deal, right? You have your clients, you do your thing, and then you leave for the day. Is there any boot in the dryer going on?
More often than not, no. Because I got that. And I've just prefaced it like that because I'm human and stuff happens, right? Yeah. So there's no perfection here. There's no arrival to any of this. There's no, you know, we're all going to have days. But in my professional life, I've been doing it enough and I've perfected my craft enough, I believe, that I know that I feel good about it. I feel confident. And I know, like sobriety, as I learn in sobriety, I have tools to break it down to basics, that if I get caught in a position, I'm a hairstylist and I do a lot of color, and color has rules.
I mean, there's fundamental basic rules
to color that you must abide by or you're going to end up with something funky. And sobriety is kind of the same way. And life is kind of the same way. There's some hardcore rules, like gravity, you know? You know, there's, and if you don't abide by it, you know, you might splat, but it is just, but it is, I've learned that and I just know it. And I'm confident in my ability to figure it out.
Okay.
So that makes me feel worthy of.
Yeah. But that feels a certain way.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's just a whole thing.
It's just what I do.
Yeah. It's what I do. And we all have that. We all have an area of our life where we feel pretty confident about. It's not occupying the thoughts, I'm not, I always like to say I'm not mentally masturbating anything in my head. We're all good. Right. And then there's an area of, let's say, relationships or intimate relationships, being single in sobriety, being single in your 50s versus your 20s, what that presents itself. And so getting into a new relationship in sobriety, or just for anybody getting into a new relationship, that same feeling of worthiness, has it taken more work at this particular phase in your life?
Has it taken more work to be feeling worthy?
Is having that same confidence that you have professionally. It's a feeling. It's a good feeling when you walk in. In relationships, are you still finding your worth in relationships, or do you know what your worth is and now you're learning from it as you engage in dating or as you engage with, in relationships?
Oh, I definitely think that I'm learning from what my worthiness and going through the divorce, ruminating in it, bathing in it, having to get over it, all the things, and just getting super clear on what happened. Super clear on my part, and staying out of his, for one, taught me in relationships, in the dating world. And I've gone on a few dates and I've gone on a few, and I can say that I'm okay with every single one of them. That one of our friends says, everyone comes into our lives to teach us something, right? And that's not a new thought, I know, but she says it to me a lot. And I'm looking back at this experience of these men that I've dated, and absolutely, because I'm open, because I'm aware of who I am and how I want to show up and who I want to be in the relationship, if they're not a fit, it's okay.
It just popped in my head. You've learned how to have a beautiful breakup.
I have.
Yeah. A beautiful breakup. So many people struggle with breakups and what that looks like. And so I think what's really would be really cool to hear is how do you do a beautiful breakup?
It's the lots of communication, lots of authentic, honest, open dialogue about who we are and what we want and leaving room for the other person to feel safe in sharing their real feelings and not weaponizing them, not getting mad at them for it, not manipulating them, just accepting. He just told me the truth.
Isn't that a challenging thing for us a lot?
It's hard.
It's hard because your fear is involved.
Absolutely.
Your fear of either the vulnerability and how that feels, the fear of not hearing what you want to hear, and all the stuff that we could psychobabble about it. You know what I mean by that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, and here's what I know, though. Here's what I, through my experience and through my, here's what I know is that we could pretend and we could make it work. Mm-hmm. We could force it into a relationship, and we could go long term in our fantasies about one another, but it will show up sooner or later.
Yeah, it will.
And that's what I, number one thing I learned about my marriage is I was 100% dishonest with myself.
Yeah.
I had no clue of what I wanted, no clue of who I was, you know, really until that thing blew up in my face. Because I was never aware.
Well, it's and sometimes we're only aware as far as how far we can get. And what I mean by that is, like, in my professional journey, you know, who I was when I walked into a job at 26 years old was not who I was when I exited that job, you know, 20 years later. Mm-hmm. And so the needs change, you know, and if you're in an intimate relationship with somebody, both people are going to change over a particular span of time, especially if it's a long-term relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I know for me and in my relationship and my marriage, I think it's really important that we recognize each other's growth, but also encourage one another to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. Because if one's growing and one's not, right? And so that kind of comes into a little bit of importance on my own belief system around relationships and the values that we place, and how do we get there and understanding what those values are. Mm-hmm. The gentleman that had come over that day and we were talking, you know, I just asked him, I said, well, what I know about you is you are a driven individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us in recovery are. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether we like to admit it or not, we're always looking to grow. You know, we like to get to the root of the problem because we understand that pain is misery, and we don't want to stay there. And what I was I was telling him, you know, you are a very driven individual. And so hopefully, you know, if you're with somebody who's not on that same, you know, not in that same mindset per se, there's probably going to be some division every now and then. And it's okay to find yourself there in a relationship and then realize, you know, this is my opportunity to accept my partner for exactly who they are.
Exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's just an interesting journey overall. And I think what's most important is staying peaceful with our decision to be there. And so I want to lead into a little bit of the overanalyzing or finding personal responsibility, the fine line. So am I going to overthink this to death? Or am I going to be finding personal responsibility? Where's the fine line in that? I could think myself into crazy trying to figure it out, right? Or do I need to acknowledge that I need to just lay this down and stop trying to figure it out? That it's time to accept. Do you have any experience in that?
You know I do. I feel personally attacked right now. I feel personally attacked.
I honestly wasn't setting it up for that.
I'm joking. She warned me. And I'm chuckling because I absolutely, and that's why you finally had to say it's done. It's done. We're done talking about it. Because I was overthinking and over ruminating and over analyzing and over taking responsibility. And you reminded me in that very conversation, you reminded me that there was another party involved and I don't have to take 100% ship. I am 100% responsible for myself. And the way that I showed up and what I did, but I'm not responsible for the ultimate decision of another human being, what they do.
I can
say that I have a tendency to overthink and overtake responsibility and to try and figure things out a little too much. And that I'll just straight up tell you, I know that I still struggle with I have a very strong belief in my God and who I believe God is. I have a very strong belief. but I don't always have a strong dependence.
I will tell you what, I would love to carry on this conversation. In fact, we're probably going to have another session here with Dory at some point. Mm-hmm. But I do know that we are at a point of wrapping up for the show right now, because that is just a fantastic. So if you are new to sobriety, hang in there. It gets better. These are simply just tools that we use along the way in order to keep the peace and to keep the sanity, reaching out and talking to somebody. Appreciating ourselves, understanding mm-hmm. that three big deep breaths can go a long ways when calming the crazy down. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I want to just thank everybody for joining us today and all the technical issues. If you want to reach out to me, you can do that on my website at susandanae.com or instant message, Facebook, Susan Danae, or at Susan Danae on Instagram. And Dory, thank you so much. Dory Figaro, right?
Yeah,
and she does hair and she does a fantastic job. So putting a little plug in there for you. All right, take care, guys.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy. Crazy.
And my name is Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDanae.com. That's Susan Danae, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.